Bibles today, I invite you to turn to John chapter 11. Recall from last week, as we began this chapter, that Mary and Martha of Bethany had sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, was sick. They trusted Jesus to respond according to that love. And when Jesus heard the news, he responded saying this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Martha and Mary, when they got that message, probably understood that message to mean that their brother would not die. But Jesus, the scripture tells us, waited 2 days after he received that message before beginning his trip back to Bethany. Jesus' statements, as you look at them in John 11, verses 11 through 15, make it clear that he purposely waited until Lazarus was dead, because he was planning on, as verse 11 says, waking him up, so that the disciples, as verse 15 says, so that the disciples would believe. And so that brings us to our text today, starting in verse 17. Follow along in your Bibles as we read this. So when Jesus came, he found that he, that is Lazarus, he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy, inspired word. We thank you for our Savior Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Teach us what that means for eternity and for our life this very moment. Amen. Amen. You're all familiar with the expression, "Where there's life, there's hope." And behind that expression is the assumption that so long as someone is still alive, there is at least some hope that they might recover if they've been sick or have a disease. Once death comes, however, all hope for a cure is lost. But the good news, according to our text here today, is that this saying is wrong as far as Christians are concerned. Because through his resurrection, Jesus is Lord over death. Christians can say this: where there's Jesus, there's hope. Where there's Jesus, there's hope. Our text really addresses the Christian's faith and hope in the face of death. And this hope is found in believing in Jesus. Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead here in chapter 11. We're going to get there eventually. Not today. But the whole chapter is about this great miracle and its results. But really, the whole point of the miracle, the whole point of Him raising Lazarus from the dead, is found in the middle of the chapter in verses 25 and 26. Listen to those verses again. Jesus said to her, He says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" You see, that's the high point of the whole chapter. The meaning of the miracle, that you would believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in His name. That's the purpose of the whole gospel, isn't it? Notice how prominent the word believe is in this chapter. In verse 15, look back up there, Jesus states the reason that He purposely waited until after Lazarus died before He came to Bethany. He says, "And I am glad for your sake," the sake of the disciples here, "that I was not there." Why? "That you may believe," He says. Down in verse 40, Jesus says to Martha, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Again, in verse 42, we learn that Jesus prays out loud to the Father, and the reason that He prays out loud, He says, "that they may believe that You sent Me." And the result of the whole miracle, you get down in verse 45. "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen the things that Jesus did, believed in Him." And so Jesus asked Martha, and He asks us today, "Do you believe this? Do you believe?" That's the whole point. Think about it as we study this today. You see, in this section, I want to point out some qualities of what it looks like to believe in Jesus. We've seen a lot of these throughout the whole gospel, but this little section is just chock full of them. And so I want to look at some qualities of believing in Jesus. First one is this: belief takes trials to the Lord. Belief takes trials to the Lord. The setting for this miracle you find in verses 17 through 20. It presents us with a seemingly impossible situation. It says, "So when Jesus came, He found that he," Lazarus, "had already been in the tomb 4 days. Lazarus' body was beginning to decompose. Martha points that out when the Lord orders them to take away the stone. Down in verse 39, she complains that there's going to be a smell, because there was. That's what happens when someone's been dead for 4 days. The sisters had taken their problem to the Lord when they had, you know, first sent word to Jesus, back up in verse 1 through 3. But Jesus had delayed for 2 days. And then He had traveled there, and now it's been 4 days since Lazarus has died. He's been in the tomb. Now things are beyond all human hope. You know, there was a Jewish superstition in that day that said that the soul stayed near the body for 3 days, but after the 4th day, there was absolutely no hope of resuscitation. Decomposition of the body, it becomes obvious. And the practice of the Jews was to bury the individual on the same day of their death. or if possible, the next day if they died during the night. They didn't embalm the bodies as the Egyptians did, but they only anointed the body with spices which helped to cover up the smell of a dead body. The mourning period then would follow. Lasted anywhere from 3 to 7 days, and the neighbors would all gather together with the family to weep and lament over the deceased. And John points that out in verse 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, so he says in verse 19, so many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So Bethany, this separate village from Jerusalem, was close enough to Jerusalem that many of the Jews came out there. This probably is a fairly prominent family. It seems to be there in Bethany, and many of the Jews from Jerusalem knew them. It was a large crowd. They were still there 4 days after the burial. This was the scene. And somehow, we're not told how, but somehow news gets to Martha that Jesus is coming. So verse 20 says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. So Martha immediately goes to Jesus, and even though she is filled with grief, she's overwhelmed by the trial that she's facing, she takes it immediately to Jesus. What a great example. Belief takes it to Jesus. Faith goes to Jesus even when it's overwhelmed by suffering and death. That's the best time to take something to Jesus, when you're overwhelmed by a trial. And so number one, belief takes trials to the Lord. Number two, belief knows that God is in control. Belief knows God is in control. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary is going to repeat that statement down in verse 32. They had obviously talked about it probably several times when they got the message from Jesus and he didn't show up. They both agree that if Jesus had gotten there in time, Lazarus would not have died. There appears, you know, I think in this statement, I don't think she's rebuking Jesus. I think it's just an expression of genuine regret. Oh, it's so heartbreaking that you weren't here. Because she really believed that if he had been here, he certainly would have healed Lazarus, and Lazarus would still be with them. He loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. But his delay, it seems, has cost Lazarus his life and caused great sorrow to Mary and Martha. One commentator said, death was no stronger than the disease. But these women, did not realize this. They would think of death as unconquerable. With disease, men may grapple and fight and then overcome, but in the presence of death, they are helpless. And so it is. You know, most of us may have thought, just as Martha and Mary thought in this trial, if only things had been different. You know, oftentimes when something tragic happens in our lives or life of someone, we know, we play through our minds like this, if only I had done that differently. If only, then the accident might not have happened. How often have you been plagued with the if-onlys? But listen, as she says, Lord, if only. You know, that's a contradiction in terms. It's really a contradiction to say, Lord, if only things had been different. If He's Lord, then He's in control of our circumstances. Surely, God was not asleep or distracted when your tragedy happened. God is sovereign. He is in control. Nothing gets by Him without Him allowing it. Jesus was in control of Lazarus' death. He deliberately remained where He was 2 days longer, resulting in Lazarus' death, so that this miracle would display God's glory and so that His followers would believe, because that's more important. So even though we don't understand the reason for our trials, we can know the Lord wants us to believe in Him and to behold His glory through it. So belief takes us trials to the Lord. Belief knows that God is in control. Number three, belief trusts God even when we don't understand. Martha had, I love this, Martha had an even now faith in Jesus. That's a great kind of faith. See it in verse 22 when she says, "But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you." What did Martha mean by that statement? I think, you know, she's conveying her faith in Jesus. She believes in Jesus. I don't think she's suggesting that if He were to simply ask the Father right now, then God's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I don't think that even crosses her mind that He's going to do that. You know, when they go to the tomb, she has to protest to the Lord. No, don't open the tomb. She doesn't think He's going to come out of there alive. And although Martha's not confident that Jesus is going to immediately raise her brother, yet she still has faith in Him. I think what she's saying here is that she is still going to trust in Jesus, even though she feels like she's been let down. Even though our Lord has caused her disappointment, confusion, grief, she still believes in Him. She doesn't understand what He's doing, but she trusts in Him. You know, it's hard to know how to pray in a trial like she's going through, what she had been through with her brother. Because, you know, we don't always know what God's sovereign will is. It may be His will to heal miraculously, or it may be His will to be glorified as we trust in Him after our loss. And we can and we should pray for God to heal if that's in His will. We can pray in line with Ephesians 3:20, where we might say something like, "Lord, I know that You are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far beyond all that I can ask or imagine." But we also pray like Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but Your will be done." So true belief takes our trials to the Lord, realizes that He is in control, even when we don't understand what God is doing. Number four, belief relies on God's promise of eternal life. At this point, Jesus tells Martha, verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha then replies in verse 24, "I know, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha misses Jesus' intention, obviously. Jesus intends by his saying, your brother will rise again. He means, I'm going to immediately raise him from the dead. It's going to happen this very day. Martha doesn't understand that. But Martha does believe in the resurrection at the last day. She believes that what Jesus gives is eternal life. She expresses her faith in God's promise regarding resurrection and eternity. Now, Jesus had clearly taught that there is a resurrection and that it is found in Him. In chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus had taught this. Do not marvel at this, He said, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice, that is, the voice of the Son of Man, His voice, the Son of God, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus clearly taught if a resurrection and judgment at the end of the age. In fact, if you go to chapter 6, you'll find that four times, if he repeats something once, it's a big deal. Saying it four times, that's a really big deal. Jesus says four times, I will raise him up at the last day. He who believes in me, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he who believes in me, I will raise him up at the last day, he says. And Martha believes that. She believes in this future resurrection. She believed that all things in that day will be restored, renewed, reconciled in that judgment at the last day. In believing those promises, goes a long way to helping us in our suffering and our sorrow. It's a wonderful thing to believe that. Number 5, belief applies God's truth in the present. So when Jesus assures Martha that Lazarus will come back to life, Martha sees this as the last day, the resurrection, the last day. Some might say, in the sweet by and by, right? And, you know, we often comfort one another, comfort each other when someone dies, saying, we'll see him again. We'll see her again. And we hope by those words to bring comfort. But we certainly don't mean, well, you're going to see him again right now. Okay? But Jesus meant that. Your brother Lazarus will rise right now. And Martha should be commended for believing in God's promises regarding eternity, but Jesus meant for her to apply His words to her present situation right now. He wanted her to believe that He could and would raise Lazarus that very day. That's what He meant when He said, your brother will rise again. Isn't Martha like a lot of us? We believe in God's power, hypothetically. We believe that His promises will all come about, that it all will all come true in the distant future. But we often doubt His power in the present moment. It's easier to believe that God will work out all of our trials for our good in heaven than it is to believe that He will work all things presently today for our good. The The Lord wants us to personally apply His promises to our present situation. And so belief applies God's truth to the present. Number six, belief is centered in Jesus Christ. Jesus now takes Martha to the bedrock of her faith. He answers her there in verses 25 and 26. I said this is the center of the passage. This is what it's all about. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This is the fifth of Jesus' I am statements here in the Gospel of John. It's clearly, like the others, a claim to deity. No one, no man, no mere man could say, I am the resurrection and the life. Only God in human flesh could say that. Jesus dramatically says, I am the resurrection and the life. And you notice he didn't claim to have the resurrection and the life or to understand the secrets of resurrection and life. No, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. To know Jesus is to know resurrection and life. To have Jesus is to have the resurrection and the life. To believe in Jesus is to have the resurrection and the life. Apart from Him, there is no resurrection. There is no life. Jesus says, He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The word live there has the sense of come to life. Those who believe in Jesus will live. They will come to life even though they die. Lazarus is going to be the real life illustration of this. Because Jesus is going to say, Lazarus, come forth, and he's going to walk out of that grave alive after he's been dead 4 days. What did Jesus mean when he said, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die? Of course, Jesus doesn't mean that believers will never die physically, because he just talked about that in the previous statement. Whoever he says, though he die, he shall live. Believers die physically, just like everyone else does. So he must have meant something else. I think what he means is that those who believe in him will never die spiritually. It's the same kind of thing he taught in chapter 5. Jesus, where in chapter 5, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whomever He will. That eternal life begins the instant you believe in Jesus. It's not interrupted, ever, not even by physical death. Morris wrote, Jesus does not, of course, mean that the believer will not die physically. Lazarus was dead even then, and millions of Jesus' followers have died since. But he means that he will not die in the sense in which death has eternal significance. We will never die eternally. Martha had already believed in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. As she goes on to affirm in verse 27, but Jesus challenges her in her time of grief to believe specifically in Him as the resurrection and the life. He says, do you believe this? In other words, do you believe these specific truths about me? You know, it's not enough. Listen. It's not enough to have a few vague ideas about Christ. You need to know Him as He is revealed in Scripture. That kind of faith is the kind of faith that's going to sustain you in your time of trial. So belief takes trials to the Lord. It realizes that God is in control over all of our circumstances, even when we don't understand what God is doing. It trusts in His promises regarding eternity, but it also applies those promises to our situation right now. And it centers everything on the person of Jesus Christ. Finally, belief grows from belief. Martha says what she believes. Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's a tremendous confession of faith. It's on par with the one that Peter makes in Matthew chapter 16 when he confesses, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha realizes that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Martha was believing what John wants us to believe as he writes this gospel, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in His name. But while Martha's confession was solid and deep, she probably didn't understand yet that Jesus was eternal God in human flesh. Her reply doesn't seem to relate directly to what Jesus said about Himself in verse 25 and 26. In her grief, she probably just ran immediately to what she already believed and knew about Jesus. She says, I believe You're the Son of God, the Christ who is to come into the world. That she knew, that she believed, and here's the truth. When you hang your hat on what you know from the Scriptures is true and you believe, God will allow that belief to grow into a greater belief. She knew what she believed, she confirmed that, and her belief grew from there. And so in a time of trial, come back to what you know for sure. Don't major on all of the things you don't know, the questions that you might have. Come back to what you know. Jesus is the Christ, promised by God. He is the eternal God, made flesh, who died for my sins and was raised from the dead. And I am staking my life on that. And let me tell you, it'll get you through the trial. That's what true belief is. Belief, even in the midst of suffering and death, takes that trial to the Lord. It knows that God is in control, even when we don't understand what's going on. It relies on God's promises of eternal life, but it also applies those truths to the present. It's centered on Jesus Christ and depends on that, and God grows it from there. In fact, it's the very trial that God will use often to grow your faith to where it needs to be. So He ends with this. Do you believe this? Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come to Your table today, the most important thing that we can focus on is Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross. That He suffered and died for us, but You raised Him from the dead. So He is the resurrection and the life. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not yet believed that, that even right now, during this time when we focus on You, when we're quiet in our hearts, that even right now You would cause us to believe. That we would turn from sin and turn to Jesus to save us from sin and to give us a new life. For He is the life. So do that work even now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing number 16. As we sing this, we invite you to come and find life in Jesus even now. Prepare yourself to come to the Lord's table as we sing this song as well. The weight of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart.